Let us now turn to the portion of God's Word which we read in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we may read from chapter 28, verse 9, to the end of verse 15. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then saith Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, here in this portion of God's holy and inspired truth, we have this great and important doctrine of the resurrection of Christ, bodily resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is remarkable to consider, just from where we began our reading this evening at verse 50 of chapter 27 in Matthew, to compare what we read there in that brief verse, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The death of Christ set forth evidently as a fact of the Word of God. Then to turn to verse 10 of our chapter, Then saith Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. It's the same person. It is the same precious Savior, the same Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, who yielded up the ghost, that spoke to the women and spoke to his disciples and to many witnesses, and so clearly evidenced that he was alive from the dead. Oh, well, friends, you see, what we must guard against this evening is, you see, our familiarity with these things, so that we can lose a sense of wonder, found wonder we ought to have at this glorious reality. Jesus of Nazareth died upon the cross. He was pierced. When they came to the others, they break their legs, not because they were not dead. Came to Christ, they saw he did not require that they would break his legs. He was dead. Many and solemn are the testimonies to the death of Christ. And so too, with regard to his resurrection. Well then, what think ye of Christ, friend? You see, what think you of Christ as the babe in the manger, great wonder itself, virgin birth? What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ as the great gospel preacher? What think you of Christ as the one who healed the lepers, gave sight to the blind, fed the 5,000? What think you of Christ who suffered in Gethsemane, who suffered at the hands of wicked men, who suffered and died upon the cross for the sins of his people? And indeed, what think you of Christ and his resurrection? Great and fundamental doctrine of the Word of God. You see, here is something that is so very different, so very different indeed from all of the religions of this world. Where is Muhammad? Where is he? Many follow him. He's dead, buried long ago. He will rise again when Christ comes in judgment. Where is he? You see? But a worthless person to follow. But here is Christ. He's not a dead Savior, he's a living Lord. Not a dead Christ, he's a living Christ. He's a person, you see. A person that we are to follow, a person we are to believe in, is one who not only died, you see, upon the cross, but rose again for the justification of his people. Well then, seeking the Lord's blessing this evening, let us look at this subject of Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection, a firm and faithful truth. A firm and faithful truth. And we will notice 3 points. Noticing in the first place that Christ's resurrection is a truth well established. It is a truth well established. Firm truth, faithful truth, a truth well established. Then secondly, we'll go on to note that Christ's resurrection is a truth in spite of a false report. And you see, what we have in our text is but one of many such. False report. They were taught, and they, after taking the money, they were willing to propagate this falsehood, that the disciples had stolen away the body of Jesus while they slept. What a falsehood. But you see, that does not in any way take away from the truth. Far from it. It does not take away from the truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then thirdly and lastly, we must note that Christ's resurrection is a truth that we must all consider carefully. Yes, all of us, even some of us who are young, here's something unusual. One who died and rose again. Is that not something worth considering? Is that not something worth looking into? This is something serious. This is something extraordinary. A person should die upon the cross, be buried, rise again the third day, just as he said he would. Is this not something glorious? Is this not something, friends, that we must surely consider? Surely, surely we must consider it. Not just dismiss it, but consider it prayerfully, diligently, thoughtfully, meditatively. Resurrection of Christ, a firm and a faithful truth. Well, it is indeed a truth well established. And we can say that with confidence, of course, because, principally, because it is a truth of God's Word. A truth of the Word of God. And, well, what greater authority do we have? Scriptures of truth. That is another and one of the many names for the Bible. The Scriptures of truth. Here we have before us the inspired and inerrant Word of God. And what have we read this night but truths that set forth the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? We read from when he died right through to when he was sending forth his disciples in that great commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always. I, the one who died upon the cross, strong cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Same person, dear friends, 3 days after, rose from the dead. What a well-established fact, and it is a well-established fact, principally, foremostly, because it is a fact set forth in the Word of God. And you see, that's what it comes down to, ultimately. Do we believe God's Word? Oh yes, that's a great question. Do we believe God's Word? see, perhaps none of us would deny that the Bible is the Word of God. None of us would deny that according to the plain reading of Scripture, Jesus rose from the dead. But what effect has it had upon us, this great truth? It's the truth of God's Word. Are you living your life in the light of this truth? Here is the doctrine, one of the foremost doctrines that the apostles took into a vain and unbelieving world. They preached boldly, they preached sincerely, they believed fervently that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross and that he rose again the third day. That's what they believed. Their convictions, you see, were true convictions. And if that is your conviction and my conviction that we believe this truth with all our hearts, let us be assured of this. We have the authority of God's word to believe this. What a comfort. What a wonderful comfort. How many there are who are believing all sorts of things. How many there are who are believing that the Virgin Mary was born without sin. How many there are that are believing and testifying that the Virgin Mary ascended up bodily into heaven. Pain of damnation, they will believe that. And those of us who do not believe that, according to the Church of Rome, are going to hell, because we don't believe that falsehood. Where is it in the Word of God? Let them show us. We cannot do it. It's not in God's Word. But here is something that is in the Word of God. Jesus rose again. He rose from the dead on the third day. Well, then there's the highest authority of all. And that's, of course, the solemn, tremendous solemnity of rejecting this doctrine is that we are rejecting a truth of God's Word. And of course, the Lord does not and will not and cannot think lightly of that, speaking with reverence. Is His Word, the Word of a King, is a truth that is most precious to the Lord our God, that His precious Son, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. And if we go on to eternity disbelieving this, denying it, saying it is not a truth at all, we will have to answer ultimately to Christ Himself, the day of judgment. We will have to answer indeed in a way that others will not, inasmuch as this truth was evidently set before us, plainly set before us, in the reading of the Scriptures, in the preaching of the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You see, it is plain from the Word of God that what we have here is narrative. It's not to be spiritualized away. It is not a vision or anything of that sort. Plain prose language of the Word of God, where we read, "Then saith Jesus unto them," verse 10, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So it was. So they did see Christ. So this is indeed a well-established fact, and the greatest authority is it is Scripture. It is Scripture. A scriptural doctrine of the Word of God. We note also that the Old Testament, as someone has noted, required this of the Messiah. And we sang of that in Psalm 16, verse 10. Here is something, prophecy. Here is something that would be true of the Holy One. Who is that but Jesus? "Because my soul," here is Christ, the spirit of prophecy, "in grave to dwell shall not be left by thee, nor wilt thou give thine Holy One corruption to see." Here is a truth that was to be expected then and anticipated of the Messiah, the Christ of God. He would not dwell in the grave. So it was. So it came to be in the person and the example of the Savior. He did not dwell in the grave forever, but for a period to show and to prove he was dead, to show and to prove also that he rose from the dead. Rose from the dead. Well, what else can we say? You see, this is a solemn truth. What else can we say about the proofs of this resurrection? Well, we know that Jesus Christ himself predicted this would be. He said he would rise again. Various occasions. Remember how the disciples could not understand this. But then when it happened, they reflected. Then they could understand what he'd been telling them. Then they could understand that he had indeed risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Matthew, for example, Matthew 26. Then saith Jesus, verse 31, unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. What does he then go on to say? But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Oh, friends, how precious! What a glorious Christ! After I am risen again, in the future, shortly, I am risen again. I will go before you into Galilee. Then saith Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. He had said that he would rise again, and he was true to his word. He had said most explicitly, and his enemies themselves acknowledged it, that he would rise again. On the third day, he was specific about it. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man must be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You see, what did they say, these terrible words? Sir, we remember they said to Pilate, that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Not just the disciples that knew about this prophecy. It was the enemies of the Lord. Yes, it was. You see, when it occurred, a firmly established fact. And is, still is. Yes, Jesus, you see, he rose from the dead just as he said he would. And let us consider also there in John's Gospel, right back at the very commencement of the Savior's ministry. There he is in chapter 2 of John, and he's speaking to the Jews here in the temple. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign, verse 18, chapter 2 in John, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? What is the sign that you are the Messiah? What is the sign that you are the Christ of God? What is the sign? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But we read he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Here it is. You see, Christ rose from the dead by his own divine power. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Who can speak like that but one who is the Son of God, the divine Son of God? I will raise it up. And again there in John chapter 10, verse 18, where we read again the Savior testifying with regard to himself. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why is that? Well, what does Christ have to say? Because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. You see? No mistake. As people say, oh, Jesus was overtaken, didn't know about Judas, it's a big mistake. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, what a proof, you see, the resurrection is of the divinity of Christ. And no wonder, you see, people want to explain it away. The very same people that want to explain away Christ being the true Son of God, God Himself, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love, they want to explain away the resurrection. It wasn't a bodily resurrection, it was a spiritual elevation. And the body of Jesus is somewhere, nobody knows quite where. All of these falsehoods. What did Jesus Himself say? I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So that, as Reverend Donald MacLean was often quoting, that Jesus Christ, one of our noted ministers, rose from the dead by the power of an endless life. By the power of an endless life. His own divine power. What a witness, what a testimony to His divine person. What a solemn witness to you and to me, friends. What think ye of Christ, the risen Lord? What think ye of Christ, who rose from the dead on the third day? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Is He your Master? Is He the one that you are looking to for salvation and peace with God? Oh, what comfort is to your soul if you are looking to this precious person, this glorious and mighty Savior. Well then, what else can we say about this well-established fact? Scriptural. It is something that Christ Himself testified, the one who cannot lie, could not lie, that He would rise again. So did He. We can say, can we not, that it was an established fact, because when He rose from the dead, it was something that was seen of many witnesses. Not the time of the resurrection itself, but thereafter, which is every bit as important. Thereafter, He ate and drank, the disciples. Handle me and see. As He said Himself, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Yeah. All of the truth of the Word of God, all of the testimony of witnesses, even, we must say, even the witnesses that, as we read of here, were so wicked and sinful as to turn away from their own witness, they showed, we read, unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Things surrounding the resurrection, which troubled them greatly. They brought it all to the chief priests and told them the truth of what they had witnessed and so on. Well, then here is a well-established fact. And one that the disciples, you see, were willing to lay down their lives for. And as people have noted, what a change. They all forsook Him and fled. What trembling, what astonishment, what a band of weak and poor disciples they were. Ah, but when Jesus rose from the dead, they were willing, you see, being eyewitnesses of His majesty, eyewitnesses of His glory, as the risen Lord, to suffer. To die cruel deaths rather than deny this fact. It was a firm and well established fact. One that they were not willing to give up. One that they were not willing to let slip, because it was their very life. It was precious to them. That one whom they had known before, they knew again. The risen Lord. Oh, how precious these solemn truths are then. Think of the miracles that followed the resurrection of Christ. We read of them there. One of them, verse 53 in chapter 27. Wonderful testimony to the momentous event of Christ's resurrection. Then came out of the graves after His resurrection many of the bodies of saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. In testimony to a very great and notable event in the history of this world, the resurrection of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. You see, we read, of course, this leading doctrine, which was a leading doctrine of the apostles. For example, there in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, and there at verse 15, we find Peter and John. And there was the miracle, of course. What did they say to the impotent man whereby he would be made whole? Well, did they raise him up in their own strength and wisdom? Peter has said, silver and gold, verse 6, chapter 3 in Acts, have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In other words, not just in the empty name, but in the name of the one who is alive from the dead, in the name of the one who has ascended up into heaven, in the name of the one who exercises very real power, rise up and walk. And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and so on. What does he have to say later on? Yes, he expounds to them, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You see, we read also of the Father raising Christ from the dead, God raising him from the dead. There was a testimony. Wonderful testimony that God had accepted his work. God had most assuredly accepted his sacrifice upon the cross. Resurrection of Christ. Well then, we are witnesses. We are witnesses of this great truth. Yes, and one could go on. Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who said that but the risen Lord? Glory humbled that man who was a great sinner. The very dust was the risen Lord. Yes, and but also of that which we have even present. Even presently, friend, here we are met on the Sabbath day, which is an enduring witness and testimony to the fact that Christ is risen indeed. From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week as the weekly Sabbath. Weekly Sabbath, what a solemn thing, what a precious thing to God, his day. And from the resurrection of Christ to the end of the world, the first day of the week, to be the weekly Sabbath. Oh, we must say surely that the Sabbath day itself is an enduring witness to the fact that Christ has risen from the dead. Little wonder, of course, then that the devil hates the Sabbath day. Little world wonder then that the vain world loves to indulge itself in pleasures, sin on the Sabbath day itself. Because the Sabbath day is an enduring witness to the fact that Christ has risen. Christ has risen from the dead. You see, we made the point this morning how that the war memorial in Riverston, and of course if you go to various other places, my own family, we go to Kiama. Some of you have been there, down the coast, not very far. There's a great, majestic war memorial there too. If we go to Grafton, likely we'd find another one. And so, well, the evidence mounts up. It's not just some deceiver putting up a memorial to some non-existent event. Here's something much more widespread. Here is something that most assuredly occurred, the Great War, followed by other wars that are whereby members of the community are held in remembrance and so on, who died in the Great Wars and so forth. Well, these events happened. They are held in memory because they were so great and important. Well, oh, how great was this event to the mind of God. How great is this event in the mind of the true believer of Christ. How they love the Sabbath day. Friends, how inappropriate it is altogether to think of professing Christians jetting away on holidays on the Sabbath day, watching television on the Sabbath day, all the things that people do and say, well, I have liberty and so on. The Sabbath day keeps in memory the resurrection of Christ, a great and momentous and holy subject. Surely that itself should encourage us to seek to keep the Sabbath day holy, among other reasons, of course, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well then, what a precious event, and what a glorious event in the history of this world. Christ rose from the dead. Rose from the dead by the power of an endless life. He rose from the dead as a tremendous witness and testimony to the fact that God accepted his sacrifice. No need for it to occur again. He rose from the dead for the justification of his people. Well, how precious it is to the Lord's people to think that Jesus died and he rose again. He is their Lord, he is their Savior, he is their Master, he is their beloved and their friend. He is the one that they hope to see again in glory. He is the one to whom they pray and in whom they trust. He is not a dead Savior, he is a living Christ. He is risen indeed. As he said he would, so he did. As Scripture foretold, so it was. As the Bible plainly testifies, so it has been. Well established fact, Christ rose from the dead. Well, it is a truth, secondly, in spite of a false report. Here it is, then. When they were assembled with the elders, verse 12, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Is this not a solemn witness to man's sin? Corruption of man. They are told, and you see, we might well have expected these witnesses, these soldiers. Well, what do we read of them? When they saw the angel, his countenance was like lightning, verse 3, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did faint. They came as dead men. They would surely have taken something of that soberness, seriousness, weightiness, witnessing. They told them what had happened into the assembly of the high priests, so that it would have been surely very evident that these men were speaking the truth, no lie. Yet, you see, this was something that did not fit with what they were about, which was to seek to discredit and destroy and put away the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And they had rejected already, so they continue to reject it. Even against these plain testimonies, here, friends, we have a humbling, solemn, serious reminder to us of the wickedness and sinfulness of the heart of man. They gave them large money. Give them large money, friends, to tell a large lie, a large falsehood. It was large money that was needed. Because these men were trembling, they were astonished. It was large money that was needed to persuade them to teach and to tell forth a great falsehood. But you see, here were men who had their price, just like Judas. Oh, we have here a warning, and we must speak faithfully in the Word of God. The love of money is the root of all evil. Beware of covetousness. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It is a form of worship. Worship of money. It is something that may take hold upon the heart to the destruction and overthrow of the sinner. Here is something solemn and astonishing, is it not? They took the money. They took it. And we read, they did as they were taught. They did as they were taught. Friends, here is an ungodly contract, if ever there was. And we say that seriously and solemnly, because here was something that was destroying souls and has destroyed souls. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews, wrote Matthew, until this day. Yes, and we might well say until this day too, in various quarters. Some are satisfied with his explanation. He was stolen away by his disciples, and they hoped through this to testify that he had risen from the dead when he had not done so. Well, you see, here was something that has destroyed souls. Those who believe this awful falsehood, terrible falsehood, to their own destruction, going against the solemn witness of the Word of God that Christ has risen from the dead. He was not spirited away. And of course, well, even what is left on record here is sufficient. Go ye, this is the best they can come up with, say that his disciples came by night and stole them away while we slept, while we were unconscious. We are now sure that his disciples were the culprits. It's all so foolish. And it's left on that, left like that on the Word of God as a solemn witness against these people, a solemn testimony to the false nature of this teaching. Disciples took him away while we slept, as though they would have slept. Ah, yes, all of it, you see, God was wise in their word. There they were saying earlier on, this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, here they are saying to Pilate and pleading, concerned, command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Oh yes, we can be assured. Diligent men like they were, they had a look inside, didn't they? They saw the body of Jesus, made sure it was there. Rolled the stone, they sealed the stone, they set a watch. And you know what the penalty for falling asleep for the Roman soldier was? The penalty was death. What was it? 3 days. What were they? But no doubt, rotated. Wasn't a very difficult thing to keep watch over a stone, a grave. A time when the disciples were all in a consternation, weak and trembling. Ah, but you see, they were fully alert. They saw the angel, were afraid. They told the high priests, the elders, here's the solemn and awful reality of what is in man. Rather than accept the truth of the resurrection, they will come up with anything. Absolutely anything. No matter how implausible, and believe that, and distribute that, and disseminate that, rather than receive the truth. You see, we have the same spirit in our own day. What do we read in the very opening words of Scripture? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What do we hear from the men of science, women of science, people with a string of degrees after their name? That is not how it was. It was a big bang. It was all chaos. It was all a flood of absolute chaos. And then out of that flood of chaos came this great orderliness of trees, of beasts of the earth, of man himself, with a conscience, with a mind, thinking, designing, building. How foolish. How absolutely foolish. Foolish said in his heart, there is no God. You see, people will believe anything rather than believe the truth. Because they are sinners. That is their nature. They are of the earth, earthy. And so you see how many have denied not only the death of Christ, but the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the doctrine of Christ as a divine Savior. All of these things. Hell itself, the solemn, awful, serious doctrine of a lost eternity that the Savior Jesus Christ preached, warned men, women, faithfully in his ministry about. Men will deny it, though it be plainly set before them in the Word of God. That is what is in your heart and in my heart by nature, to reject the truth and to believe the lie. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. They did as they were taught. They took the money. How fearful. What an awful thing it is, friends, to deny the resurrection. That's what they were doing. Because they were supplanting that precious truth. Christ himself had said he would rise from the dead the third day. And they were saying, He did not rise. He was spirited away. His disciples stole him away while we slept. That's not a resurrection. That's not a resurrection from the dead. That's something different altogether. That's a stealing away of a body. Well, testimony of the word of God is wholeheartedly against this falsehood. We have it, the origins of it plainly set before us here. Think also of the fact that grave clothes were left, napkin folded, placed by itself. People stealing away a body don't have time, surely, just to leave the linen wrap, undo all that. It's not plausible. We know it. But you see, what is more important for us to know, friends, here today is the extent to which men will go in their sin and in their willingness to reject the truth of the resurrection of Christ. And to apply that, you see, to ourselves. And not just to say these people were special cases, but to apply it to ourselves in a way that may indeed be profitable. So they took the money and did as they were taught. Well, how solemn, you see, this falsehood was. But in reality, when we read it and when we consider it carefully, we see that all of this falseness, all of this wickedness, all of these plans of the enemies of Christ only serve to underline the truth of the resurrection. That's all that was the outcome, as J.C. Ryle notes. Their seal, their guard, their precautions were all to become witnesses in a few hours that Christ had risen. Their seal, their guard, their precautions were all to become witnesses in a few hours that Christ had risen. Well then, in the third place, here's a truth that we must all carefully consider. Christ's resurrection. Here is a truth we must all carefully consider, because it is such a solemn and momentous truth, because it is a scriptural truth, because it is a truth that, if rejected and disbelieved and denied, then we shall surely go to a lost eternity. If we deny and reject this plain testimony of the word of God, we shall answer not to man but God himself, whose word sets this truth forth. We say that to your soul, friend. Do not deny this truth. Do not reject this truth. Do not disbelieve this truth. Oh, perhaps you say, minister, surely nobody here in Riverstone, Pre-Presbyterian Church of Scotland, disbelieves or discredits this truth. Well, we may not say it. But you see, it is like that sin of atheism. We may not be atheists in word, but in deed. We may not be resurrection deniers in word, but in deed. You see? Here is Christ who rose from the dead. What think you of Christ? How is it and why is it, dear friends, that some of you are going on in sin? Why is it that some of you are not seeking unto Jesus, the risen Lord? Why is it that Christ does not mean everything to your soul? He rose from the dead. Is that not glorious? Is that not something momentous? Is that not something you should consider? Consider carefully. Oh, let us not be like these poor souls. See, there they were. Possibly they even knew why. Why was it that they were guarding the tomb? It was because he had said, this deceiver had said, he would rise from the dead the third day. Well, they need to guard against the disciples coming and stealing the body, you see. An angel comes. Do they not think that that might be something in it? And yet we read, they took the money. They took it. Ah, what about yourself, friend? You read about Christ dying upon the cross for the sins of his people, heard the service this morning, witnessed the Lord's people going to the Lord's table, hearing this night upon this solemn doctrine of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Are you taking the money? Are you taking the pleasures of sin, which are for a season? Are you satisfied to go on in the ways of those who, and in the company, in the fellowship, and the love of those who are such as would deny the resurrection? Deny it in this fashion, perhaps not explicitly because they are so worldly they don't even look into it. They deny it because it means nothing to them. The name of Christ means nothing to them. Are these your friends? Are these your company? Are these the people that you love to have fellowship with? Resurrection deniers. Men of the entertainment, the stand-up comedians. Men of the movies. Resurrection deniers. Those who have no time for Christ. Those for whom Christ is a swear word. Is that your entertainment? Is that what you love? Is that what you feed upon? Oh, friend, feed upon fact, not fiction. Is that the books that you read? Fiction, fiction, fiction. Take away your mind from the truth. How about this? Instead of fiction, friend, consider fact. Consider this tremendous, solemn fact. Jesus rose from the dead. Is that not something worth considering? How can we turn from a consideration of this solemn truth? Flick through a novel. A novel about this man who went off with this woman. Or this woman went off with this man. Or this incident that happened. And this violence that was meted out in this one and that one there. How can that square with a beloved attachment to Christ, risen Lord? Cannot square. Christ is Lord. I'm thinking of Christ. You see, these are great truths of the Word of God. They should fasten upon our souls, take up our attention. You see, if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. But if Christ be risen, should you not be believing? Should you not be following? Should you not be professing his name? Should you not be humbly submitting to his every precept? He is the risen Lord. He is the divine Savior. Friends, how can we think lightly of these great truths? They are solemn. They are searching. They are such as should enter into our hearts and affect the way that we live in this world. If we truly believe that Jesus of Nazareth died upon the cross for the sins of his people, and rose again on the third day, just as he said he would. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Ah, friends, that person is no ordinary person at all. That person is not just an historical figure of interest. He is the Son of God. He is the divine Redeemer. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the one, friend, that should be your all and in all. He should be the one in whom your trust is placed. Oh, how then can we turn from Christ to follow idols? But oh, that we would indeed be, as others were, turn from idols to serve the living and the true God. And to wait for whom? His Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven. Await with humility and solemnity the coming of Christ. Oh, what a great person. Friend, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself as to whether you are, if not in word, but indeed a resurrection denier. A person who is not embracing the risen Lord. is surely rejecting. We are either receiving Christ or we are rejecting Christ. What is it? How long? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, follow Him. If Christ be the risen Lord, follow Him. Be decided about it, friend. Because you see, the day is coming. A solemn, solemn day is coming. When we will meet Christ again. But it will not be the one who so freely offered it to us in the gospel. A prince and a savior, a mediator, a friend of publicans and sinners. But it will be that one who is the judge of the kings of the earth. How solemn to stand in judgment before Christ, having heard this sermon and many others, and having to be acknowledged as one who denied His resurrection, denied the seriousness, the solemnity of it, did not come unto Him that we might have life. Will He not say, "Depart from me, cursed, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? Oh, how solemn. You see, there's an account of one who came to a lawyer. And the lawyer said to him, "If ever you need to come to me, well, here's my number, here's my details. Free to come. You've got this problem. Well, you come and see me." And a few years passed and he had a problem indeed, a very great, pressing one. And he came. He came, you see, a few years later, knocked on the door, and he said, "Yes, I've got this problem, and I need help. I need help. I need legal help at once." He stopped and he was told, "I am no longer an advocate. I am no longer a lawyer. I'm a judge. I cannot deal with your case." See, that's it. That's the day that's coming. Sinners stand before Christ in judgment. He's a judge. He's not a savior. He's not an advocate. Now is the accepted time before. Now is the day of salvation. Christ is an advocate now. Christ is the one who is the friend of publicans and sinners. Christ in the gospel is saying to your soul, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give it to you now. This very night I will give it to you now. Before you go out that door, I will give you rest of your soul. Come unto me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Beloved friend, believe in Christ and be saved. Be saved for all eternity. Oh, come to Christ. Believe on Him. Receive Him. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me," not to somebody else, "to me, and him or her or anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." What a precious truth. Lay hold upon it. And if you can't lay hold upon it, ask Christ to enable you to lay hold upon it. He is one who is the friend of publicans and sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. We saw that here today. Hear it now in the gospel. He receiveth sinners. He saveth sinners. He is a precious Savior. He is a risen Savior. He died and He rose again and He ascended up on high, and He shall come to judge you, me, all of us at the last day. Oh, be ye reconciled unto God. Be reconciled unto God through Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God, the great God of eternity, and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hasten to Him and be saved. Let us pray. O most mighty and glorious God, do Thou work faith in us and thereby unite us to Christ, the risen Lord, in our effectual calling. O save us from light views of this world. How quickly and easily we can be taken up with the follies of sin, which are but for a season, the things that distract our mind from a serious consideration of solemn truths. Ah, grant gracious God to save us from our folly and our sin and our sinful appetite. Grant that we might feed upon Christ, the bread of life, by faith. Thou work faith in us and thereby unite us to Christ, now effectual calling. Bless and pity us, and cause thy face to shine upon each one of us, and grant to deliver us from the world, flesh, and the devil, and save us from the sin of unbelief and rejecting Christ, the alone Saviour of sinners. Part us with thy blessing, take us to our places of abode and safety, we plead, and forgive us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us conclude with praise to God in Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. The Lord shall out of Zion send the rod of thy great power. In midst of all thine enemies, be thou the governor. A willing people in thy day of power shall come to thee, in holy beauties from morn's womb, thy youth like dew shall be. The Lord himself hath made an oath, and will repent him never. Of the order of Melchizedek, thou art a priest forever. These verses in conclusion, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.